Good afternoon, everybody. I feel very overwhelmed by the crowd here tonight, today here, come here this year. Regulars and people are here because, out of respect to my mother, people who knew my mother before I did. I'll tell you that I'll speak about the end of the year. My mother considered every part of her life very important, and every stage of her life really influenced her own life and her children. My father, my mother passed away, had an opportunity to speak with my mother, and my father described my mother as an Esh Chayil and an Isha Gedola. Esh Chayil, the two ways women are described in Tanakh. Said an Esh Chayil is a person who has a lot of courage, a lady who has a lot of courage. Stand for what she feels is right. And as the wind sort of blew in different directions, my mother always felt very strongly about her opinions, and she expressed them, even sometimes when she was the only one on staff in the school where she taught. She felt, I remember right after I made Aliyah, the first year I made Aliyah, I was describing to my mother about Yom HaTzmaut. And it was one of those years where Hey Year was on Friday. And here in Eretz Yisrael, Yom HaTzmaut is celebrated on Dal Year on Thursday. So Thursday night I was speaking to my mother on the phone. My father's pesach was that in America, you should say Hallel on Friday. Eretz Yisrael, because it's Chilul Shabbos, you should follow, you should say Hallel on Dal Year. And I was telling my mother all about, you know, how I celebrated Yom HaTzmaut. She said, I'm so happy I spoke to you. I really wasn't going to speak up Yom HaTzmaut because none of the teachers agreed with me in the school, but now that I spoke to you, I'm going to speak about it. I'm wearing blue and white. My mother was an Esh Chayil who always felt it was important to express her opinion and to teach people the way that she felt the Torah would want her to say. That's one idea. Esh Gedola, of course, because she influenced so many people, her children, students, friends that she knew, and really, I know all of Chicago and people all over the world today. Till today, I still meet people who expressed to me how much they felt influenced and affected by my mother's Zichrona Livracha. So, before Mitzvah Hashem, at the end of the shir, I'll come back to say a few words about my mother. I'd like to speak about the title of the shir is from Tisha B'Av to Yom HaKippurim. And the point of the shir is really to express how we should celebrate, or not celebrate, commemorate Tisha B'Av, and of course Yom HaKippurim, which on some level is connected to Tisha B'Av, as I'll explain. Now this idea of how to celebrate, commemorate certain days on the Jewish calendar is very difficult. I know somebody who spent some time in the university in upstate New York. He was very involved in Jewish life there. And one time he was running the minyan Yom Kippur night, and a certain lady had come to join the minyan, and she was going to stay off campus. And he felt very bad because it was a long walk off campus, and he found her in a place to stay in one of the female residences. And he walked her to the residence, and as he was walking back, he passed by one of the dormitory apartments, and he heard a lot of music, and all of a sudden this fellow stood over on the porch and screamed over, "Hey, you, come on up and join the party!" And he starts to explain, you know, it's Yom Kippur, it's the Day of Atonement, and come on, don't be a party pooper. And this fellow is the kind of person who never wanted to disappoint anybody. So he walked upstairs in his big day Yom Kippur. He was wearing a bow tie, not a regular tie, so he stood out. And he walks in, and the fellow says to him, why are you so dressed up? He says, you know, I'm a Jew, and today's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, we Jews spend our whole day in the synagogue praying, and we dress up in nice clothes. He says, that's amazing. I'm Jewish too. And I actually saw on the holiday, on the calendar of this holiday called Yom Kippur. I didn't know what it was. And I figured that I wanted to celebrate. So I made a beer party for everybody. I mean, it was especially the tragedy of how many Jews don't want to celebrate Yom Kippur. And I was thinking, well, how many Jews are there that keep all these Tariq mitzvot, but don't commemorate the holidays in the proper spirit in the proper way? And if we could say that by any day on the Jewish calendar, I think we as Jews struggle with how to commemorate Tisha B'Av And how to remember the 9 days? This is the first year in 10 years I haven't been in America for 9 days. And I always see advertisements, Sunday's fundraiser, Siyum whole day, and celebrations. And I wasn't raised that that's what you do on the 9 days. And the truth is that if you look at source number one, Echa Rabbah, the Medrash expresses, I will not read the sources inside, just to paraphrase. The Medrash expresses this problem. Mara says, the Medrash tells us, Echa Rabbah, Parsha Aleph, their beginning, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Malachi HaSharet. And he said to them, a melech vaser v'dam, kishemes lo meis, a king of flesh and blood, loses a relative, whom is Abel, mar darko lasos. What is his way? How does he mourn? How does the melech mourn? So the melechim told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he hangs a sackcloth on his doorway. Kadosh Baruch Hu severely, I'll also hang a sackcloth on my doorway. And then the Medrash continues. Melech vaser v'dam, mar darko lasos. What does a king of flesh and blood do when he loses a relative? Amalom mechabes of hanasim, he puts out the lights. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu frequently said, I will also put out the lights, I'll darken the luminaries in the sky. And then again, melech vaser v'dam, mar darko lasos. So it goes on, melech vaser v'dam, mar darko lasos. A melech vaser v'dam, what is his, what does he do? The melech vaser v'dam, kofes amikos, he turns over the beds. So the Baruch Hu says, I will do the same thing. Melech vaser v'dam, what does he do? Holech yachaf, he walks barefoot. So the Baruch Hu expresses, I will do the same thing. Tears his clothes, and the Medrash continues. The Medrash expresses how difficult it is for us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing us to mourn the Beis HaMikdash. How do we commemorate this Avelos Yeshanah? And everyone struggles. What kind of shum do we attend? How do we express? What do we do? Two stories that I saw, the trouble people have. When I was, I think, 18 years old, I was in my father's yeshiva, Tisha B'Av night, and a boy walks in, someone I knew, my age. I still remember his first name, but I won't say his first name for various reasons. And he was a member, I guess, or he thought he was a member, I'm not even sure if it was around then, the JBL. He thought he was a member of the JBL. So you can tell, you know, he always looked like he belonged to the JBL. And he walks into my father's yeshiva, Tisha B'Av night, with a white shirt, four buttons open, and a t-shirt showing the fist, never again. And somehow or another it hit me that as important as it might be for Jews to defend each other, that wasn't the guard for Tisha B'Av night. That's what I thought. He anyways went on to go to Eretz Yisrael, to join the Machzeret here. He was involved in many things. And actually, I didn't. Last time I saw him was right before I made Aliyah, and he didn't want his children to know about his activities in Eretz Yisrael. But he doesn't walk around that way, those kind of shirts anymore. But that's the clothes that he wore on Tisha B'Av night. The second experience I had was a number of years ago in camp. So every camp has a lake. And after every rainstorm, the camp has to measure the level in the lake, because sometimes it's runoff from the sewage, to make sure that the lake is still usable. And it happened during the 9 days, that for a few days the lake wasn't usable. It wasn't a problem with the 9 days. Only problem was that there were certain boys in the kollel, that their practice, they picked up their Eretz was to go to mikveh every Friday. And they went to the lake on Friday, so they asked me to tell the boys not to use the lake. Okay, and with Erev Shabbos Chazon, it might be important, but, you know, safety is more important. Safety is more important. Anyway, that year, Tisha B'Av was on Tuesday. Monday afternoon, a boy comes over to me and says, listen, he says, I understand that I couldn't use to go to the lake on Friday, but how can I not go to Mikvah on Erev Tisha B'Av? Because he expressed this to me. So I was actually trying to explain to him that maybe you shouldn't go to Mikvah or Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is not the day to go to Mikvah, but, you know, he thought that Tisha B'Av, on some level, is very similar to Yom HaKippur. And we all struggle, I think, with how to commemorate, how to feel, how to experience Tisha B'Av, and that's what I'd like to speak about, and from there, we can understand how to experience Yom HaKippur. And I would just say that I think that my mother, Zecharo Livracha, she gave over and she really knew how to experience every Yom Tov and every day in the Jewish calendar. And source number two, so before I begin with the sources, there's definitely a direct connection between Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, and Yom Kippurim. And it's obvious because the first sorrow that happened of the 3 weeks, which is mentioned in the Sefer Tainus, was the Shfiras HaLuchos, that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he broke the Luchos, and we know that the antidote for the Shfiras HaLuchos was on Yom Kippurim, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the second Luchos. So there's definitely a direct correlation between Shivat Shomer Tammuz, the Bein HaMetzorim, the 3 weeks, and Yom Kippurim. I'd like to understand what that correlation is. Tosfos in Masechet Megillah mentions a much more direct, another correlation. Tosfos in Masechet Megillah mentions that what we should lay, the Shalosh, the Pernusa, the Shivat and the Chemta, and Tosfos mentions that our Minog is based on the Pshtikta. Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Mabez, says that we obviously started the first parak of Yirmiyahu in the first week of Shabbos Chazon. Then yesterday, this past Shabbos, did Shimud Bar Hashem. This coming Shabbos do Chazon, and then we do the Shiva and the Chemta. And the Pesuk does not stop the Shiva and the Chemta. The Pesuk goes on and says, and there are two. Then there are two more Haftorahs of Tshuva. There's the Haftorah of that we read on Som Gedalia, the Haftorah of Dirshu. And then there's also the Shabbos Shuva. You see that when we speak about the Shalosh de Pernusa, the Shiva and the Chemta, and we speak, it's connected to the two Haftorahs of Shuva of the Seres to make Shuva. So we see that this time period of the Shalosh de Pernusa and the Chemta are very connected to the period of Shuva of the Seres to make Shuva. Then source number two, so I try to understand. Then there is, in the Sefer Avudraham, he quotes a Medrash. And the Medrash explains the sequence of the Haftorahs that we started reading from actually we're going to read from Shabbos Nachamu until Rosh Hashanah. And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch will say, Mitzvah Hashem and Shabbos Nachamu, 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 Ami, HaKadosh Baruch who tells the Nevi'im, I want my nation to be comforted, I will comfort them. And then the Nevi'im come back and say, "Vatomer Tzion Azmani Hashem, Kadosh Baruch has forsaken us." In other words, the Anishol says we are not satisfied with the Nechama of the Nevi'im, but the Nevi'im want to offer us. So then the Kadosh Baruch goes on with other Haftorahs, Uri, like to waken like the earlier days, and then on the Yasoara. And Nevi'im come back, and they say that Yisrael v'chama, they don't feel comforted. And then HaKadosh Baruch comes back, Anochi, Anochi, hu menachemchem, and Rani HaKadosh Baruch again coming back. And then HaKadosh Baruch says, "Komi Yori Ki Ba'orech, your light has come." And finally, Knesset Yisrael responds, "So Osis Vashem." So the Shiva Nechemta is really a dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Nachem Am Yisrael and Am Yisrael is refusing, until right before Rosh Hashanah, Am Yisrael says, "So Tosfos Vashem." They're willing to accept the Nechama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to understand the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Now we know that on Tisha B'Av, someone actually asked me this week, we know that we don't say Tachana. As the Shulchan Aruch points out in Siman Tachluf Nun Tes of Dalit, Eino M'tachanun V'lo Slichos, the Tisha B'Av. Why? Because Tisha B'Av is called the Moed. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes, because the Pasuk says Korolei HaMoed, but even though it's a Moed, on some level we can still have a Hesved for a Chacham Shemes, and we're allowed to have the Chiyah of the Hesved. El Avchia Behesped on Tisha B'Av. So on one hand, it is a Moed, on one level it's not a Moed. But why do we consider Tisha B'Av a Moed? It's such a sad day. Why would we consider Tisha B'Av a Moed? I'd like to understand that. Then, we know that we don't say Tiskabel, the minhag at least of Ashkenazim, is that we don't say Tiskabel in some of the Tfilos, Shacharis. And there's a discussion amongst the Poskim about when you say Tiskabel, don't say Tiskabel. Try to understand
I'd like to understand that machlokas. Okay. In source number 8, the Rambam mentions a minhag not to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av. And this minhag, according to the Rambam, in Siman Tavkuf Nun Gimel, the minhag not to learn Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, except for those limudim that are allowed on Tisha B'Av. And therefore he says that if Shabbos falls out on Tisha B'Av as does this year, you should not say Pirkei Avos. Rambam seems to paskin that will apply even this year, that you shouldn't learn on Erev Tisha B'Av. I would just mention that my family shita is that you are allowed to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av and Chatzos, even on the Shabbos. I think the Beis Halevi is famous for saying that this is one of his coolest, that you're allowed to learn anything you want on Erev Tisha B'Av and Chatzos. But if you look at the Gemara, we have to explain, where does this come? That all of a sudden, we extend Tisha B'Av into Erev Tisha B'Av. The Gemara, source number 9, in the Nagu, Mishum Simcha, because it's Simcha. And the Gemara says, Chumri Yaseirahi. It's the Chumri Yaseirah, because we're not knowing anything else on Tisha B'Av, about Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av. So where did this idea come from to extend some of the Nihugim of Tisha B'Av onto Erev Tisha B'Av? Okay. Now, if you go ahead and you ask, what do we do on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av was said kinas. I think I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I think my uncle Rav Yosef Beer Soloveitchik was famous for saying that the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av is kinas, to say kinas. Question is it really the mitzvah to say kinas on Tisha B'Av? The first kinas that Jewish people said was Megillas Eicha. As a matter of fact, Chazal, whenever they spoke about Megillas Eicha, they always referred to Megillas Eicha as kinos. It's only after we started writing our own kinos that now Eicha was called Eicha. And you look, the source of reciting Eicha on Tisha B'Av comes from Masechet Sotah, from source number 10. And Masechet Sotah does not say that you have to say kinos on Tisha B'Av day. Masechet Sotah says, Yesha Koran Sefer Kinos Be'erev. There are those who recite Kinos the Tisha B'Av night. The Yesha Ma'achron are those who wait out of Boker until the morning. La'achar Kriyas HaTorah. So La'achar Kriyas HaTorah Omed Echad. After Kriyas HaTorah, one person gets up. V'rosho Mispalish V'afar. And his head is covered with dirt. U'begadav Mishuloshim. His clothes are down to the floor in mourning, the covered b'chiyo, the yalala, and recites the eicha with tears, with screaming. In yudeyuhu letargum ol mutav, if he knows how to metargum, how to explain the eicha, that's good, then love. And if not, note lamisha yudeyah letargum b'tov. He should give it to somebody who knows how to translate and explain in an effective way. U'metargum lefi sheyevinu bo shara'om. Everyone should understand. Hanoshim, the ladies, Vakinovus, the children. She says, Shamnoshim, Chayovos, Lishmoa, Kriya Sefer, Chanoshim, Vakosha Kane Zacharim. Because everyone is obligated to hear the kinos. Everyone is obligated to hear the Eicha. So we see from the Sefer Sofrim that you necessarily have to recite kinos, the Eicha, the time of Chazal, in the morning, as we do at night now. They did it maybe sometimes in the evening. So when really is the mitzvah to recite Eicha? You look at source number 11, for another reason, the 11 mentions, the Yerushalmi mentions Rebbe's Hanhaga in Eicha, in how to recite Eicha. Rebbe, Rav Chia, Rav Yishmol, Rav Yossi, Hanyu Yoshvin, Uposhim, Megillas, Kinos, Erev Tisha B'Av. They were sitting, and they were reciting Megillas, Kinos, Erev Tisha B'Av, Shechol Yosh B'Shabbos. It's amazing. So, there's actually a machlokas, as we'll see, but the Mishnah Berurah points out that this was Tisha B'Av fell out this year on Shabbos, and on Shabbos in the afternoon, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was reciting Megillas Eicha. Like the Rama says, that you're allowed to learn. In the afternoon, it's time to learn those topics that are Tisha B'Av oriented. And they were reciting Megillas Eicha. Mina Mincha L'mala. From Mincha and onward. I don't know if it means from Chatzos, Mincha Gedola, from Mincha Gitana. But he was reciting the Eicha Shabbos afternoon, according to the Bir Halacha. V'shayru bei alef beis echad, and they left behind was one perek. Because Eicha, we know most of the parakim are based on the Aleph Beis, and one Aleph Beis he left behind. And Amrui says, "L'machar anu bayim v'gon nesa im k'shera." Tomorrow will come, and we'll finish Megillas Eicha. So we see that Rebbe, in the Mefarshim explains Yerushalmi, why did Rebbe stop? Because he had to eat Tzitzis Ashlishit, so he stopped. He had to eat. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. We see Rebbe recited most of Megillas Eicha not on Tisha B'Av itself. He recited on Erev Tisha B'Av. Now it's true the Ramah understands this Yerushalmi to be speaking about Rebbe went ahead and recited Eicha on Erev Shabbos. And because of that, Ramah says in source number 12, a person should minimize his learning Erev Shabbos, prepare for Shabbos, and that's why Rebbe stopped, prepare for Shabbos. However, the Bir Halacha points out that really, if you look at the Yerushalmi and the Medrash, you'll find that the true pshat is that it was on Shabbos itself. But whether according to the Mishnah Berurah or according to Ramah, Halacha Ramah is still correct. Rebbe recited most of the Eicha before Tisha B'Av itself. We have to understand, so is the mitzvah to recite Eicha Kinos on Tisha B'Av? Or even before Tisha B'Av, a person can mekayem the mitzvah, or the Hanhaga Hayom of reciting Kinos. In source number 14, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned that on Tisha B'Av night and the daytime, there's a minute to sit in the shul on the floor till Mincha. And the Ramah actually adds that it's our minute now to get up from our low stools as soon as we finish. We leave the shul in the morning, and we marichim the kinos, and we stay the kinos to look before chatzos. And after chatzos, we go ahead and we can sit on a regular chair, and we stay kinos until chatzos, so we're not involved in malacha. So in other words, all of a sudden when chatzos happens, this is a question that they ask, the nature of Tisha B'Av changes. I'd like to understand what happens until chatzos and what happens after chatzos. So I think in order to understand what we're supposed to feel on Tisha B'Av, we should take notice of the Meshech Chachma Megillas Eicha, source number 21. Meshech Chacham explains why we cry on Tisha B'Av. Meshech Chacham says that if someone loses something, it's a shtus, it's very foolish to go ahead and to cry. What are tears going to go ahead and do? Will they bring something back? He says, however, something which you haven't given a hope on, you know you'll be able to find it, then you're able to cry. And David said the same thing when his son died. Then you know sometimes it's foolish to cry. He says, but that's why the Meshech Chacham explains for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash and for Nechamas Tzion, that's the reason to cry. Why? Because when a person cries for the Beit HaMikdash, that will bring the Beit HaMikdash, that will bring the Gula back. As he quotes the Chazal, Kol HaMesavah LeYerushalayim, anyone who mourns over Jerusalem, Zocha V'Rav V'Simchasa, anyone who cries, that's the reason for the Chamas Tzion. And he quotes the Medrash in Eicha Rabba, Rav Eivo said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jews, because you cried, I will bring you back. And that's why it says, Zachar Tikva, remember, and because of that, since there is a hope, you should cry. And because of the cry, I hope, because I'm crying, I'm hoping. In other words, Tisha B'Av is about crying. What do we cry about? Tisha B'Av is a cry feeling what Tisha B'Av is about. What Tisha B'Av about? Tisha B'Av is about the fact we don't have Beit HaMikdash, much more than that. The Beit HaMikdash was the place where we had a special issue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It symbolized our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to cry over the fact that we lost that relationship. And the second kina that we say on Tisha B'Av morning, so we speak about all the special places, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we cry for that special relationship. And because we have missed that special relationship, so all of a sudden there was a downward tumble, and we missed everything else. Everything else happened. What Tisha B'Av really is about, that we don't feel as close to Kadosh Baruch Hu as we could have. That's why Kiyum Ma'os Tum Astanu, that's what we asked for it at the end of Megillat Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. Tisha B'Av is about feeling that we don't have a special relationship. Now, when we speak today about, we have to do tshuva, it's true, we have to do tshuva. But before we're able to do tshuva, we have to see where we've come, what has become of us. It's not only about Sinas Chinam. It's about what the Sinas Chinam has brought. And we lost special relations. The Beis HaMikdash symbolizes that place that we have, we can feel very close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that when we lived Kenya Eretz Yisrael, you felt the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the Kina of Yehuda Levi, you felt how special it was. And what Tisha B'Av is about, Tisha B'Av is about not about the Kinos, but the keynotes brings you to have the feeling. That's the idea. Maybe on the other holidays, so there's a discussion, do you have to do certain mitzvos in order to express what you're feeling, or you have to do mitzvos that can help you feel a certain way? But the point on Tisha B'Av is to feel a certain way. One of my children told me last week, he said to me, I hate Tisha B'Av. So I said, you hate Yom Kippur? He said, well, I don't like fasting, but I hate Tisha B'Av. Yeah, we're supposed to hate Tisha B'Av, because what does Tisha B'Av symbolize? Tisha B'Av symbolizes the fact that we feel and we focus on the fact that we lost that relationship, that special Tisha B'Av Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're supposed to feel. And for that reason, we have to work on ourselves during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days and on Tisha B'Av, that we should come to that feeling. And until we come to that feeling that we feel, we experience the loneliness, we experience the isolation, we experience separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we haven't been the kind mitzvah of Tisha B'Av. The mitzvah of Tisha B'Av is to feel lonely, to feel alone. We have to feel the estrangement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe that's the reason why. So it doesn't really make a difference when you say kinos. You could say kinos as Rebbe did Erev Tisha B'Av. You can say kinos Tisha B'Av night. We spend most of our time Tisha B'Av morning saying kinos. But the important thing is, kinos is only the vehicle that brings you to that point. The point is not to say kinos. The point is to come to a realization that we're in a terrible state, that we feel separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. That's the point of kinos. However, when one goes ahead and one feels abandoned, one feels alone, one feels lost, he has to be very careful that if he loses all sense of hope. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, source number 16. The Rambam says, "Umahi hatshuva hu sheyado b'chote cheto yisira machshavto." What's the tshuva? So a person should abandon, should leave his sin and get it out of his mind. The Yigmor believer should yaseu oath and decide he's not going to go ahead and do it anymore. My father, Rav Aharon Soloveitchik Zatzal, asked the question, what's the idea of Yisira Machshavto? Get out of your mind. He says, a person does an Aveira and he should forget about it. There's a halacha, that chatoyim that I committed 1 year, even if I haven't committed those chatoyim for the next 10 years, I can should still say vidui 10 years later. So what's the idea of Yisira Machshavto? My father explains that sometimes if a person does an aveira and he always focuses on it, he'll never be able to do tshuva. He'll feel like he's shackled, he's locked down, he can never come up. And it's important when a person does tshuva, you know, the saying vidui dvarim and charata are very important. But if the charata leaves the person in a state where he can never pick himself up, that's not real tshuva. Tshuva is where you can go ahead and you can pick yourself up. As a matter of fact, in the Tochacha B'Chukosai, it says, Yisvadu v'savonam v'savonam v'osam, Perachavav, source number 17, and the Jewish people will say vidui for their sins, and the sins of their forefathers, v'malam v'shemolubi, how they sinned against me, v'atashir halkim me v'keri, and they walked with me rebelliously, and we think the next part of the Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, I'll take you back to Israel. And what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say in Pasuk Mem Aleph? Afani Alech Mekeri. I will walk with them rebelliously. They beat to your son, the Eretz Oveyem, and I will bring them from the lands of their enemies. Oz Yikana Lavavim Ma'arel, Oz Yirtzah Zavonim, then they will be subdued. I heard many years ago, about 23 years ago, forgot from who, someone asked, how can that be? They do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll punish them more. The tshuva and pasuk men is a tshuva giving up. There's nothing we can do. When a person does tshuva, when a person feels the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be a loneliness separation that brings him to correct himself. And therefore, on Tisha B'Av, it's so important that we not only feel the loneliness, but to feel that we can go back, we can reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Tisha B'Av, where all a person feels about is the fact that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left me, it's my fault, and I feel so alone. And you can't see how you can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into your life, how we can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, how we can end the Golos, has not fulfilled the mandate of Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av is to feel the loneliness, but to feel the loneliness in a way where, to feel the loneliness in a way where you'll be able to go ahead and you'll be able to rebuild, to reconnect. And actually, the Michtav Me'Eliyahu, the source number 22, says this, expresses this idea. The Michtav Me'Eliyahu asks the question, what's the idea? Right now, in the middle of 9 days, Sunday, Shabbos Chazon is coming, Sunday is Tisha B'Av, and, you know, this year we don't play till Chatzos. So everyone's going to be, you know, mostly Tisha B'Av. The ladies can really start washing the clothes, they're all going to be happy, and when they come, you know, the next morning people can start having their meat, and Shabbos Nachamu, you're going to feel the simcha, you know, everyone's already planning, and Eretz Yisrael, the trips to go to amusement parks, to water parks up north. You know, starting Tuesday, you'll see the simcha in the country, and Mr. Me'Eliyahu asks, how do you go from Shabbos Chazon, Tisha B'Av, to the Shiva in the Chemta? How do you go? The Michtav Me'Eliyahu quotes the Baal HaTanya that even though being sad can be very dangerous, however, sadness in the right place and the right way to break a person's heart, but that sadness, if it pushes him to change his ways, that sadness can bring true simcha. And he said at the very end, "Im alidei hatzar v'yabchir." Through the pain and crying, born with a hakara begolus hashchina, you recognize the exile of the shchina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol. That will appear the way to the geula, and this is the makor to the simcha. Because if we can be sad and recognize the golus hashchina, recognize our own golus, and see how we can bring ourselves out of it, that is the true nechama, the true simcha, and from there we come to the shiva and the chemta. So really, the point of Tisha B'Av and the point of the 3 weeks is to recognize how far we've fallen, to recognize how we've been distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also to understand that we can come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the point of the 3 weeks is first to recognize how far we've fallen and to recognize we can come back. And the simcha after Tisha B'Av, the simcha that teaches us that we can come back. And then once we realize that we can come back and we internalize it, then we're ready for ourselves to make tshuva. And that's the connection. On Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz, the luchos are broken, and we work for 3 weeks, and we realize what the Shabbat luchos means. And once we know what the Shabbat luchos means, so at that point, we can go ahead and we can pick ourselves up and realize that we can bring back the Shechina, bring the Gulos. We have Simcha. And once you realize it can bring it back, we have to start working on that, and then it's time for the Seris Yimei Tshuva. And that's why the Psikta connects Shalosh Deparnusa, the Shiva de Nechemta, to the two Atoris of Tshuva. The question about the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at first is refusing to be comforted, and then finally, after 7 weeks, they agreed to take the Nechama HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard from my oldest brother, Moshe Soloveitchik, that what was going on, what was the dialogue here? My brother explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And Ami saw a response, they thought that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was throwing a few bones. Yeah, I'll give you the Nechama. But Am Yisrael did not just want Nechama. Am Yisrael want Hashivei Hashalacha Nashuva. Am Yisrael wanted the Jewish people should have relationships. We have a Kodesh Baruch Hu Sinai. And this was the dialogue. What Am Yisrael is asking for, they weren't just asking for Beit HaMikdash. They weren't just asking for return of the Gulf for the Jews to Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to come back to have that same relationship. And finally, after 7 weeks, after all these Haftorahs, so such is Bashem, when the Jewish people realized that HaKadosh Baruch was willing to restore the relationship, so then Am Yisrael was willing and able to accept the Nechama, and then we could start working on Tshuva. Because it's difficult for us to work on Tshuva on ourselves until we realize that we can reach the highest level. But the point of the 3 weeks and the Shiva Nechemta is to realize that we can bring back the Geula, bring the Geula, but even in the highest form, not just, you know, as a booby prize in some level, to bring back in the highest form. That's what that is what these weeks are for. Maybe that's why one of the reasons to Moed. Because on one hand, Tisha B'Av is a very sad day. But on the other hand, on Tisha B'Av, we realize that we can go ahead and we can bring back the Geula in the best manner. We can bring it back on some level that brings Simcha. That's why, you know, it's a day when, you know, we're sort of confused. We say Tiskabel sometimes, don't say Tiskabel in the morning, some want to take Tiskabel, because there are many positive aspects. We realize, this is what we start to realize, where we can go, what we can reach. Once we realize where we are right now, we can realize what we can reach. And maybe that's the reason why this custom started of extending Tisha B'Av into Erev Tisha B'Av for learning. Because if the point of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Erev Tisha B'Av is to reach that level, we realize how broken we are, and it's impossible to do it on one day, even Erev Tisha B'Av, we should start, we should begin to go ahead and to work on ourselves, to understand the terrible tzar that we're found in. So, yeah, if we start Tisha B'Av morning, it's too late. If we start Tisha B'Av at night, it's too late. If we start sometimes Erev Tisha B'Av during the 9 days, it's an avoda that lasts 3 weeks. Because we have to reach that state. That's the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av, reach that point to realize how abandoned we are. And that's the reason why Yehuda Nasi maybe would go ahead and would start reading Eicha even before Tisha B'Av. So once Tisha B'Av comes, he would already be at that state. I think that this idea that we have to be mis'avel on Tisha B'Av and avail us that we see the end, we see the light under the tunnel. Something that's really tied in to the avail us of Tisha B'Av. In Parshas Lech Lecha, source number 18, source number 19, Baruch Hu Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, and the Baal HaTurim asks, why does it say Lech Lecha twice? Let's say Lech. Why Lech Lecha? So Rashi says, B'shvilcha, it'll be good for you. The Baal HaTurim says, Lech Lecha, Ramaz Lo Beis HaGolios. The Lech Lecha symbolizes two exiles. The Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram when he's going to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, there are going to be two exiles. The comparison is difficult. Because here Avram is going to Eretz Yisrael, and we're trying to understand what's going to happen when the Jews leave Eretz Yisrael. But what's the idea? The idea is that even when a Jew leaves Eretz Yisrael, he always has to feel that what? He's on his way back. Even when we feel on Tisha B'Av leaving Eretz Yisrael, we're being taken away in chains. We have that hope and know we're coming back. That's what the Baal of Tisha B'Av has to teach us, has to lead us. There's a very famous Gemara in Maseches Machos, the very end of the Masechta, that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shimon Akiva were walking Bederach. And they heard the voice coming of Romans from 120 miles away. And they heard the Romans celebrating. And Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shua started to cry. And Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. Rabbi Akiva said, why? So they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? So he says, why are you crying? He said, why are we crying? These pagans, Shemistakla, saw them. They're sitting securely, in comfort, security. And look at our Beit HaMikdash. It's burnt, and we shouldn't cry. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing. Because if the Romans are living in this way, this comfort, can you imagine the reward we will have when The Gula finally comes. Okay? And the rest of the Tanoim did not respond to Rabbi Akiva. Then another time, they were going to Yerushalayim. This is more famous. And when they got to Harat Sofim, they tore Kriya. And when they got to the Harat Bayis, they saw a shul, a fax, going out of the Holy of Holies. And they started to cry. And again, Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. Again, the same dialogue. Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? Rabbi Akiva asked them, why are you crying? And he said, why are we crying? The place where it says, Vazara Karev Yumas, Va'achshav Shulim Holchubo, below Nifka, we shouldn't cry. There are foxes in the holiest place on earth, we shouldn't cry. Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I am laughing. Why? She quotes the Pasuk. They quotes together Zechariah and Uriah. My father spoke about this Gemara. I'm not going to mention my father's pshat right now. I want to mention a different angle. And he says, why are Uriah and Zechariah in the same pasuk? Uriah lived in Mikdash Rishon, Zechariah lived in Mikdash Sheni. But the pasuk wants to link Nevuah to Zechariah to Uriah. And it says that when just like Uriah's prophecy was fulfilled, that Sion Sada Techaresh, that the Har HaBayis will be abandoned, and there'll be nothing there. So also the Nevuah of Zechur Zechariah of Od Yasu Zekeinu to the Kena of Rechov Yerushalayim. Actually, this guy in the Nevuah of Saluria. So once the Nevuah of Uriah was not fulfilled, I was afraid that the Nevuah of Zechariah not be fulfilled. But now that I see the Nevuah of Uriah fulfilled, and it's linked to Zechariah, I know that the Nevuah of Zechariah been fulfilled. I have to mention my father's ideas. My father asked, what was Rabbi Akiva on some level? Didn't have a munas Nevi'im. He was afraid that the Nevuah of Zechariah not been fulfilled. How Rabbi Akiva touch this thing? My father explained that he knew Zechariah's Nevuah to be fulfilled, but he didn't know Zechariah's Nevuah of old Yashu Zekanim and Zekanim, Rechom Yishalayim, and those silly old people, and speaking of smile people, they'd be literal. He wasn't sure, maybe it was metaphorical. When he saw the Nevuah of Uriah was literal, he knew the Nevuah of Zechariah would be literal. But it's something else. Two dialogues, and only at the end of the second dialogue, they said to Rabbi Akiva, Nechamtani, Akim Nechamtani, Akim Nechamtani. Both times Rabbi Akiva said, we got to be more positive. And only at the end of the second dialogue, they said to Rabbi Akiva, Nechamtani, you have comforted us. Maybe the idea is that after the first dialogue, they thought this was Rabbi Akiva's nature. Rabbi Akiva's nature was always to look for the positive aspect in life. As he told the Jews after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Ashrechem Yisroel Mimatai Aretzchem, when the Jews were despondent, they didn't have a Beit HaMikdash, they didn't have Ordo Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Akiva always is able to encourage and somehow or another be able to show the Jewish people how to lift up their spirits, how they can be positive. But in the second dialogue, Rabbi Akiva quoted the pasuk, they knew it wasn't just Rabbi Akiva. It's a halacha. How does one mourn? One doesn't mourn when spring comes to despondency. One mourns for the Beit HaMikdash, as the Meshech Chacham says, and as the Meshech Eliyahu says, because that mourning rebuilds the Beit HaMikdash. That's the avelus that brings you to have hope. And that's what Tisha B'Av is about. Now, we talk about all the sins of the Tshuva for. It's interesting, if you look at the kinos, except for the first kino. In general, the rov minyan ubinyan of the kinos is about what happened. The first kino, Tisha B'Av night, we talk about Mida Keneged Mida. I saw, though, that the art scroll says that really the earlier renditions of this kino really show that they keep out just the first part. Everything that happened, Oyim Ha'ayolonim. We don't see. Right, because Tisha B'Av is not about, maybe after Chatzos already, but until Chatzos, the 9 days, we have to experience and understand what the Churban is. Understand the experience of where we are. We have to understand that yes, we still have to say Nachem, and still Yerushalayim is Ira Chareva. I have to tell you that if anyone has any doubts, Ira Chareva, I've been many years, I went to my parents' kever today, and someone took me, I walked up through Haraz Eisen. If you walk up, not taking the road, you get a bay, you look around, you see what Ira Hareva is, when you see what Yerushalayim of old, what it looks like. That's what we have to work on for 9 days, for 3 weeks. After the 9 days, then we can start talking about how to do tshuva. But that's what we have to experience it. And I think that once we experience the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, we really experience what Tisha B'Av means, what a Churban means,
then we can come to Yom Kippur and experience Yom Kippur. Because what is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the opposite of Tisha B'Av, as my uncle always said, Rashi Bar Soloveitchik always said, Sofnei Hashem. If Tisha B'Av is about being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Kippur is about being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to always, Tisha B'Av, if we want to come with Nei Hashem, we have to understand now that we're not with Nei Hashem, we're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once we understand we're far, we can come back. Then we can start working on doing tshuva. We have to understand where we are. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bracha in our lives, Baruch Hashem, but unfortunately, people are very happy with their lives. We have to realize how far we are, how much we need, how tenuous our situations are, our situation is, now that we're in Golus. And that's really the point of Tisha B'Av. And that's the point of the keynotes, to get us to that point, to realize what a bad state we're in. And that comes to really experiencing Tisha B'Av, and then you can experience Yom Kippur. If I can say in closing, I think that this is really a general obligation that we have to experience all of Yadus, to experience the Chagim, to experience the Torah, to experience mitzvahs. When I speak to my mother's Zecharo Livracha, first of all, I have to say that, I'm not sure I mentioned this, that I felt very close to my mother. As a matter of fact, on Friday, I found my mother's notes, memoirs, that she said, I heard from my father also, the Apostle says, Shema Adini Musar Avicha, V'yalti Tosh Torah Simecha. The question is, why do we speak about Torah Simecha? The father's obligation to teach Torah. And why is Musar Avicha? My father always said, because the mother takes the child just to the peak, and the father takes the child onto the peak itself. And there are a lot of things I can say about my mother. For those who don't know, many of you do know my mother. My mother was very knowledgeable. Halacha, Torah, Tanakh, Ivrit, Jewish history. I have to tell you that years later, I just spent 4 years giving a shiur in Hilchos Shabbos to the ladies in my shul. And every so often, I learned something and I say, oh, that's why mommy did that. You know, it's kind of bad. It's not like, oh, it's just some chumrah. But no, it's actually there's a source. There's a source. And she was extremely articulate. She could, if she believed something, she could say and express it very well. I remember, I won't say his name, somebody came to talk learning to my father. And they came there, my father's parents were very strong. And on the way out, he stopped off to say hello to my mother, and my mother, now let's put it this way, this boy did not learn America's Haram, okay, and they're saying what I learned, and my mother involved him, I think, in an hour discussing ideas of why it's important to work, and Medinat Yisrael, she was extremely articulate, okay, and anyone who started with my mother would not know what hit them, this situation, she was Nefesh Chaya. But what really I remember today and how she affected me in the most impressive manner is my mother's Zechron Levracha. She really experienced life. Let's not speak about the Chagim for a moment. I have to tell you that I remember, you know, growing up, American boy, so we used to go ahead and we used to have cereal milk for breakfast. Every so often, my sister and I, my sister who's 4 years older than me, we were growing up together, we would have, I don't know, some other kind of breakfast. I remember sometimes having bread with vegetables. My mother would walk into the dinette and say, oh, I forgot already. We were eating an Israeli breakfast or a ritzvah. My mother came from ritzvah. A ritzvah breakfast. Sometimes an Israeli breakfast. Sometimes a ritzvah breakfast. It was an Israeli pastry-sticker breakfast. There was a ritzvah pastry-sticker breakfast. And she would, and then she would sit down and explain to us what it was like in Eretz Yisrael before the Melchemet Atzmaut. What was like in ritzvah? She educated us. Because even though she never wanted to go back to Ritva, she told us she would never go back, but that was such an important part of her experience. And her years living in Eretz Yisrael, or as it's called in those days, Palestine, she remembered and she told over to us that when I was visiting Eretz Yisrael, I remember I came with my children once, I think two children, and every day we'd get a fax. Remember what a fax is? A fax from my mother. And she would write, not to me, or to my wife, she would write her memoirs. What was like, unfortunately I threw it away, what was it like to be in Eretz Yisrael? And she heard we were going to the Kotel, the next day we got a fax
about her trip to the Kosa, which is a lot more exciting than my trip to the Kosa. Okay, she was on one of those buses that got shot at. But that's for a different story. But she experienced everything. Everything was part of her experience. When I was growing up, I grew up in a neighborhood where I can't say I had a lot of religious friends. I didn't have a lot of not religious friends either. That was just a neighborhood. And in the summer, I was bored. So I wanted to go swimming. I think back today, I can't believe my mother did this. And there was separate swimming, believe it or not, in Chicago, Illinois, at a park called River Park. River Park, I must have been the only firm Jew that went swimming there. I don't know why they had separate swimming. And to get to River Park, you had to, we have to go bicycle riding. All right, there was a nice bicycle path near our house, you know, from Ardmore to Bryn Mawr, Bryn Mawr to Foster. And someone had to go with me. You couldn't let an eight-year-old, nine-year-old bicycle ride by himself, you know, in Chicago. It's not Yerushalayim. And sometimes, I remember my siblings would take me, but usually not. I was the youngest child, and sometimes I was a little bit of a pain, I'd be honest. So my mother would borrow my sister's bike, and she would take her Tanakh and put the Tanakh in a basket, and she would put the Tanakh in the basket, and she would go with me riding her bicycle. And I remember the bicycle ride was an experience. She would talk about it, and she would look at it as we were going every single day. We would get to the park, she would park herself under a tree with her Tanakh, I'd go swimming, and then when I was ready to go, I'd tell my dad and we'd go home together. I think now, a 48-year-old lady in those days, bicycle riding? I remember once she saw, just thinking of fashion, one of those big ladies' tricycles, she used to tell me, that's what I should be riding. And then she said to me once, you know, she said, I'm grateful to you. Because when you were born, all my friends felt sorry for me. I was 39 years old. My friends, who was having children, said, well, you kept me young. And you know that when, in her final sickness, when she was going to the hospital, they passed by another bicycle path. And my mother told my brother that those times she went bicycle riding were very special moments. Why? Because she experienced, it wasn't just she had to take me bicycle riding, she had to depart. She experienced those moments. She experienced everything. And everything was a very, very special experience. Whatever you did was an experience. She wrote about why it's important to learn Ivrit. She loved speaking Ivrit. She loved. Any chance she had to speak Ivrit, she spoke Ivrit. She wrote letters to her siblings. Her mother tongue was Yiddish. She wrote the letter in Ivrit. She went to the airport. She spoke to the security at El Al Airport in Ivrit. Why did she love Ivrit? She wrote, because if you know Ivrit, you can experience Yirmiyahu. You can experience Yeshayahu. And she experienced Sefer Yirmiyahu. She experienced Sefer Yeshayahu. And I would just say that she definitely experienced all the days in the Jewish calendar. She once told me, she said, you know, everything we do, so everything Jews do, she said, you know, she says, there's nothing like coming home on a cold Shabbos day to a hot shalom. I'm not sure what she'd say in Beit Shemesh in the summer, but that's what she said about Chicago, Illinois, and the same thing about Ritzvah. And she said, Lag BaOmer, after the long winter going out into the fields on a hike, there's nothing like that. And she went through the whole Jewish calendar with me, why we do this, why we do that. And I still remember on Tisha B'Av, she was waiting for Elitzia. Now, mostly wait for Elitzia because finally, Baruch Hashem, Kinas are over. But she would say, I love the tune. It's a tune full of so much hope. There's something to look forward to. And Yom Kippur. I still remember Yom Kippur. How seriously she took care of davening. Because she felt that everything in life you have to experience. And along with that came the Torah too. Because of that, she was able to experience relationships with her family, with her students, with friends, with people she inspired. And with that, she was able to experience the Torah. She really experienced the Torah. She understood what Tisha B'Av was, what Yom Kippur was, because she experienced everything. And I think the lesson I take from my mother's life is that we should try to just, everything we do in life, we shouldn't look at some just a chore, but everything is here for us to experience. She should keep inspiring my family and everyone who knew her
Thank you all for coming.
Go ahead.